Welcome to the Talk with Tori podcast. I'm your host, Tori Jones, and I'm so glad that you're here. It's time to have some fun. On each episode, I will chat with a friend and we will share random life topics, tips and tricks, fun stories, and more serious stories filled with some real talk to make you laugh, maybe cry, make you think, but most of all, bring a smile to your face. We all have a story to share, so I hope you enjoyed this one. So grab your favorite Starbucks, a glass of wine, water, I don't care, you do you, girl, because it's time to peel back the layers and add a little spice to it. Hey, Allie, we're live.
Hey, girl.
We're not really live. Actually, this is funny. Yesterday, I recorded someone, and he was so nervous, and he was like, okay, we go live on the air in 5 minutes. I was like, no, we don't go live on the air. So I don't even know why I say live. But he was like, all day I've been like stressed. Like, oh gosh, I'm going to go live on the air at 7 p.m. And I'm like, no, no. But we're so, y'all, it's fun because, you know, most people I'm on Zoom, but I get to be in person. We're very close right now.
We are very close. We have a microphone in between us, but we are good. We are practicing good measures.
Yes. So I'm excited to introduce y'all to my sweet friend, Allie Wilson. I am so excited for y'all to learn from her. She has really quite a story of like redemption, but also breaking the cycle in your family. And I think that that's something, I mean, whether you're breaking the cycle in any aspect right. of your life, it's relatable to everyone. So I'm really excited for her to get to share with y'all. But first, let me tell you how I know Allie.
Okay.
So I met Allie through KD, through an alum event. And I thought she was fun, but she asked me what I would be interested in her business. And I was like, people like me don't do stuff like you. So no,
I was like, no, you would be perfect. And you're like, yeah, no.
Yeah,
no.
I don't roll like that. But that's how I always tell people, never say never, because you can
roll like that.
Yeah,
now.
I roll like that now. Yeah, I do. I roll like that now. And so, you know, we became business partners or whatever 4.5 years ago.
Golly,
but
yeah.
Then we just gained this sweet little friendship and mentorship, and her girls were in our wedding. They walked Louie down the aisle. That was really fun.
Yes. It's been kind of a quick, fast journey though.
Yeah. Like, you know, just, like 5 years. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I guess I knew you before I joined the business. So I guess like 5-6 years. Yeah.
That's crazy. Godspeed.
Yeah. So crazy. Fast. So, anyways, we've just had some fun memories with them. Like, you know, I remember when one time I was out of town and Josh took your kid, just him going to jump,
like
trampolining like, before this.
This is like super step-in dad babysitter.
Yeah,
awesome.
He was like ready. He's ready to do that again because I can't go do stuff like that.
And we both have golden doodles.
We both have golden doodles.
Mine and super, like did not like Josh at all.
And now they're besties.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and y'all know Josh loves doodles, obviously. So anyways, my doodle's over here eating. If y'all can hear him, I'm about to put him in the other room. But Allie, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself to everyone. Yeah. Tell everyone maybe just a little bit about you, what you do, where your life is, and if you have a fun or exciting, interesting story or fact or anything you want to share with the people.
Okay. That was okay. So I grew up in Atlanta. I am from a divorced family. My mom raised me for the most part on her own. My parents got divorced when I was 2. And then I have a half brother that's from my mom's, a different marriage that my mom was in. But for the most part, I grew up in Atlanta. I moved around prior to Atlanta up north in different places. Really didn't have a very stable, constant place where I lived. So once I hit 7th grade, made it to Atlanta, stayed in Atlanta, and all of a sudden it was my senior year and decided that, you know, everybody in Atlanta goes to Georgia. And I was like, and so everybody that goes to Georgia, when you grow up in Atlanta, I feel like that's where everyone goes. And I had no attachment to Auburn, nothing. My roommate, but a friend that I was in high school with, her sister had gone here and we came and visited Auburn and I decided to come to Auburn. And then fast forward, went 4 years in Auburn, got a job with the city of Auburn, and ended up staying in Auburn, which is so crazy to me because I never thought I'd stay here.
Me either.
Yes. That's usually how it works with everybody you talk to. And then my husband, Brad, was born and raised in Auburn, and you really don't find a whole lot of people that were born and raised in Auburn.
I never thought about that. Everyone really is transplant.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, how it's like a melting pot for the most part. So our kids go to the same school, like some of the same schools that he went to like a million years ago. And so that's how I ended up in Auburn and ended up staying here. And then the rest is kind of history.
The rest is history. Yeah. So she's a business owner. You worked for a while. You have three kids.
Three kids right now.
Can you believe how old your kids are?
No, like I look at them and I'm like, oh my gosh, that means I have to be old. But they are 13, about to be 10 in 2 weeks. Or no, 9. Hold on. Let me back up here. 9, 11, and 13. My 9-year-old's about to be 10 in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had a big milestone birthday.
Yeah, I turned the big 4-0.
So we're exactly 10 years apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big 4-0. That's a big deal. Well, you look a lot younger than 40, and everyone would say that about you.
Thank you, friend.
It's the skincare, the hair,
the running, all the things. Well, and it's also living in a college town. Keeps you young, right?
I tell people all the time, I'm like, listen, if you want to spice it up, you don't have to move to Auburn. I think Auburn's the best, but like a college town in general,
it keeps you in, like, you just
you
stay in the know.
Because not like everyone can live here, but like any college town, even if you went to a college town where it's like 1,000 people at that college, it'll keep you
young.
It'll
keep you young. Yeah. Yes.
So Josh and I talk about that. I mean, we hope to stay in Auburn forever, but we're like, no matter what, we want to live in a college town.
Yes.
Somewhere. Like if God sends us somewhere else, we pray it's a college town.
Yes.
So, do you have any stories or any fun facts that you think people want to know about you?
So you said I was a runner, and this is like as of recent, I say within the past, this fact is within the past 2 years.
Okay.
Really year, but I've been running for probably about 4 years, but I wake up every morning at 4:40 in the morning.
That's disgusting. But I'm so glad that you do that.
I'm that person that I used to be like, I don't like you and I don't want to be like you. And I don't even want to hear from you.
Yes. I can't with 4:40, but yeah, we've had some fun laughs and memories together. You know, done some different adventures.
Yes.
Went to Nashville. That was fun.
So fun.
We laid in the bed like and giggled all night.
So
we didn't sleep at all.
I miss, like, that is the one thing with this whole turn of the world is I miss having that personal interaction and community. And I know you and me are a lot alike. We like to travel. So, like, the travel aspect of it is really
hard. I said one thing that's been the hardest for me personally is having nothing to look forward to. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you don't want to get too excited about something because it might not happen. But yeah, well, your family's just been so sweet to Josh and I, and we just love y'all and love all that y'all have been able to do for us being so far from family. And so we're going to talk a lot about family today. I think that's some people grow up in the dream family and some don't. And that's just the reality, but we don't really talk about it.
Yeah.
And
it's hard when you're not, like, when you are not, you feel like you're different. Like, you feel like what's happening with what you see family-wise is not the norm. That's really hard. I grew up that way. I knew that.
Yeah, and you've learned so much along the way. And I'm so thankful that you're willing to open up and share. So will you tell us about your childhood? I know you walked through that a little bit, but any details that you want to tell us and maybe your relationship with your mom and about the different men that maybe walked in your life and things like that.
Yeah, so my parents got divorced when I was 2, and we did not live in the same city that my dad lived in. So there was pretty limited contact when I did have contact with him. And as far as just, you know, when you're a child and when you are, I feel like in my mind, when you're under the age of probably 16, because I think that's when my eyes really started to be open, is everything that your mom says or everything that you live in, you think is right.
Yeah.
You think is totally right. You think is totally normal.
Well, you don't know any different.
You don't know any different. Yeah. It's your mom, right?
Yeah.
Like, my kids right now better believe that, like, I'm totally right. I'm totally, you know. But it was my mom, unfortunately, there were different situations that I started to realize growing up that were a little bit off. That's the best way I can put it. And looking back, she suffered from mental illness. And that is something that I was living with and didn't see it. But I kind of did see it and masked it with just this very, like, okay, well, this might be normal, kind of normal. I can't even describe it. But when I was in high school, I remember feeling like why is my family not like everybody else's, right? And like the Lord knows we're called to be different, right? But in that mentality, when you are in high school, which are such hard years, middle school and high school, like I have a middle schooler now, like it is so hard. It's hard now as an adult, right? Yeah. When things don't look like they quote unquote should. But growing up and looking around, I was like, what is wrong? Why is this different? Like, and I was almost embarrassed for like, we lived in an awesome city. We were in a great house. My mom was a very hardworking woman. I know I get a lot of my drive and my grit from her because she, you know, I definitely am a product of, she had great characteristics, but she just was suffered mentally. And so, but I remember thinking to myself, like during like graduation and different instances where I was around friends and going, oh my gosh, why is my mom, why is my family look so different? And it nested some insecurities within me walking through that and living with that. And I would say we were close, but we were close in a really weird way.
Yeah.
Like it was more of like,
did you ask her for advice or anything?
Yeah, we were, I would ask her for advice. I loved her. Like I've gone back, since she's passed away and I've gone back and looked at certain notes and certain things that I've kept. And I'm like, I loved her and she loved me, but it was just not a very healthy love mother-daughter relationship looking back. And so it was, I don't want to say it was hard and terrible, but there were hard parts of it. Did not grow up in the church. We were the kind that would be like, hey, we're going to church because it's Easter or Christmas. And that was another thing that looked different for me because I think I yearned for that because I'd seen those around me
that had that.
And especially growing up in the South, like you definitely,
people talk about church all the time.
They talk about church and I'm sitting here like, oh my gosh, like I don't even know where this book in the Bible is.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? So that's kind of like a surface level of how it was growing up. I mean, it was different, but it wasn't bad. Like, but it was definitely,
I love how you said that because I think that that's so often the issue. Something's just off, but it's not like it's like the, it doesn't have to be like this tragedy thing where you're like, oh, I know something's wrong, but you're like, something isn't 100.
There's something
a little bit up. Yeah.
It's foggy.
I love
like,
that.
I'm like, I didn't understand. So something was off. So yeah.
Let's talk about like, you had this life. Did you think that would be the life that you would have like to have moving forward with a marriage or anything like that? Or in the back of your mind, did you always say like, I want to find a better way?
Well, I think I always wanted a better way. And going back to the question you were saying about the men in my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mom was married previously to my brother's dad before she married my father and they were married for 2 years. And then my mom remarried again. Okay. And I had a stepfather relationship for a while. That didn't end well. And then she had gotten remarried again. And so she had been married 4 different times. And so I can tell you as a child and a product of living through that and like not having that stability, I knew I was going to fight for whatever I had to not to have that anymore. And whether it be whether I had children, which I really wanted children, didn't know how that was going to pan out, but I did not want to live that life because it, from the inside, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is not,
it's hard.
There was no stability. Like, it, I mean, constant just change. So that made me really want to make sure that I was not going to have that. What that looked like down the road, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I had no idea because it wasn't modeled.
Yeah, definitely. So how was it like with, sometimes it was just you and your mom, sometimes it was you and another guy. What was going through your mind during all of that?
Honestly, as I got old enough to really let it resonate and to know, I was like, what? Like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
It was kind of that question of like, what's wrong? Why is this happening? And embarrassment.
Yeah.
I think just really having that like fear of like, what are people thinking about me? Because like, it was all in my head too, because no one's worried. Really, the reality is no one's worried what's going on in other people's homes.
But we think they are.
And I was worried. I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I think embarrassment was probably the biggest thing.
Well, I love that you knew you wanted to fight for the next life. So walk us kind of through the journey of what your relationship with your mom looked like in your adult life.
Okay.
And kind of what transpired through that.
Okay. So when I went to college and ended up staying in Auburn, I think that was really hard for my mom. I think the biggest thing for her was she loved me so much, but almost in a, I don't want to say a strange way, but like it was hard for her to let me kind of have my wings and fly. So it wasn't that she wanted me to move back, but it wasn't that she, like, I think once I started dating Brad eventually, because I did, you know, when I stayed here, I met Brad through just being in Auburn. And I think once we started dating and he asked me to marry him, I think that was a tipping point in our relationship. Mm-hmm. I think she realized I was in her mind, she thought I was gone because I was,
you were getting married.
I was getting married. Whereas as a mom now of, you know, two girls, I know that when my girls get engaged and it's a great guy, like I know Brad is and his family, I would be through the roof, over the moon, so excited. So when we went back to my hometown to tell her that we had gotten, you know, for me to show her the ring, it was like walking on eggshells. It was very like, it was not a joyous occasion. It was more of like resentful because my mom did not grow up with a lot. So I think a lot of her bitterness and a lot of her resentment towards me for like going and doing and then and not living the life that she had was resentment, but yet it was very twisted. It was very twisted. Yeah. Yeah. And so then we ended up, once we got engaged, we were engaged, we got married. The wedding actually went off pretty well. And sadly enough, my dad actually did not walk me down the aisle. My stepfather at the time did because it just, there was no way that my mom and my dad could be civil in the same space, in the same town, like at all. And it wasn't not that I didn't want my dad there. I wanted him there because we had kept in connection. We weren't as close as we are now, but the day would have been about my mom instead of mm-hmm. about me. And it still kind of was. So that was kind of what was best for us in that season. And then ended up getting pregnant, ended up getting pregnant in July of 2006. And it was that November. At this point, my mom and my stepfather had moved to LaGrange. And so we moved out of Atlanta to LaGrange. And if you're not near Auburn, that's about 45 minutes away from Auburn. And so we were closer. It was a little bit different. I could tell, I felt like as she got older, she got a little bit more, I don't know, like, I don't want to say sick, but definitely like it was very, very magnified her issues to me at that point. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Brad and I had gone to pastoral counseling because I was getting anxiety about the situation. I was like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I don't know what this is. This feeling of how I feel shouldn't be how I feel with somebody who loves me as my mom. And mm-hmm. so we were seeking counseling at that point, which was, by the way, the best thing that we ever did. So anybody who was ever like, it doesn't matter what the situation is, anybody who is like on the brink of like, oh, I just feel like I need to talk to somebody. I'm a big advocate for talking to somebody. And there's nothing wrong with that. But during that time period, and there's no mistake in this, that we were talking who we were talking to, my mom had actually, gotten arrested for domestic violence in LaGrange. And it was over Thanksgiving 2006. I was pregnant and I did not know what to do, y'all. I can't even describe it. Now talk about embarrassment at that point.
I'm thinking in the paper.
It's just, you know, it's your mom and she's in jail and she was on suicide watch and I get this call and do I go bail her out? Do I not bail her out? Like, what do I do? And by the grace of God, we were in counseling and she spent Thanksgiving in jail and we ended up going and getting her out, like going and meeting her with a bail bondsman. But it was at that particular point where that's kind of where we broke off almost completely our relationship. It wasn't healthy. It was interfering. It was a lot of things, but I also realized how sick she was at that point in time. And I knew for my family,
how old were you?
I was 20. Let's see. I was 25.
Okay.
So I was 25 and then I was pregnant with Sterling. And so this was November before the April she was born. And I was living in fear of my mom, which is not what you do, but, that's just my honest,
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. I definitely think, you know, so many listeners are going to feel like they're finally not alone and that's hard. So you went through this season where you pretty much lost contact.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you lose contact? And if you don't mind sharing, what was that season like, not really having a mom while you were being a mom?
Yeah, it was crazy. I do want to preface this by saying the Lord gives you strength when you never think that you can have it. Like when you feel like you're so alone, it's like, oh my gosh, like he's like scoops you up and he's got you.
And at this point you went to church and found the Lord.
Oh yes. Yeah. So I started going to church. Yes. In college I was going more regularly and that was wonderful that had that, you know, in front of me. And obviously my relationship and my walk was growing at that point in time, especially when we walked through my mom going into jail and all of that. But it was actually the night that Sterling was about to be born. She was born at 3 a.m. So this was probably at 7 or 8 o'clock that night prior. And I had asked her not to come to the hospital until we had gotten the room to get into. Mm-hmm. Well, she'd come to the hospital to the room when I had asked her not to at that point, mm-hmm. just because of Brad's parents weren't there yet. I hadn't had my epidural. I was in a lot of pain. And this was the breaking point for our relationship. She walks in, she had a cup of coffee. I could tell that she probably had some red wine. I hadn't had my epidural. She walks up to me and starts holding my hand and is trying to talk to me. And my eyes, I just look up at Brad and Brad is like, I was like, she's got to get out of here. Like, I can't do this right now. I can't do this. Cause we just walked through all that.
Yeah.
Stuff. And, so Brad doing the leadership thing of our family, he went up to my mom and said, can you please step outside until she gets her epidural, until my parents get here. Y'all, my mom flew off the handle, ran out of the room, never came back. She left and I was about to start pushing and Brad called her several times. And at this point she was living like in the Opelika area. She'd gotten divorced because of that incident that happened, the domestic violence incident. And so she never answered her phone. She never answered her phone. And she looked over, Brad looked over at me after Sterling was born. And he, as soon as I put her on my chest, his eyes just welled up and said, I feel like I just ruined the birth of our first child. And I said, no, this is how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be us. And this is exactly what it's supposed to be like right now. So the next morning, at like 8 a.m, she ended up coming to the hospital and I was a hormonal mess. I had not slept in like days, especially that night before. And she told me she was moving to California. And at that point, that was the last I really saw of her and communicated with her. And so that was in April of 2007. And so, a lot's transpired since then, obviously, too. So,
yeah. So that's really hard. So thanks for sharing about that. And, you know, what was that season like, having these precious, precious babies and raising them and always maybe having that in the back of your mind? What mm-hmm. what was that like?
I think the hardest part was, like, you know, the saying, comparison is a thief of joy. Having friends and having friends that have moms that were there all the time to help. And I have to preface this by saying I had the best mother-in-law, and I still do. But I didn't have my mom. And walking through, especially the first child, like, you're like, okay, what do I do? And then with my second one, I had like the know of kind of what to do, but then it was hard. And then with our third one, Haynes had some medical situations and issues, and it was just a lot, having them so close together and not having her. A lot of resentment, but also a lot of hope that, like, this is nothing that my children will ever have to deal with, that I can be a better mom because of what I had walked through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever wonder what it would have been like if y'all wouldn't have lost contact?
I don't think it would have been good.
Yeah,
I do. I firmly believe that my life would not look like it looks like right now if I had kind of followed her and not honored the family that we have.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you shared that. So walk us through, you know, you had all these years, you're raising these sweet kids very close together. And then walk us through how your life changed.
So I was going on, you know, life was, it was soccer mom, carpool mom, all the things, day-to-day activities and the monotony of just being a mom. And you kind of get comfortable. And, you know, when you say like in different seasons, like the Lord is closer to you in different seasons. Mm-hmm. And little did I know when I got a phone call, it was Master Sunday of 2019. And that was actually Master Sunday when it was a rain out. So it was like in the morning when they had the final round. And I was at my girlfriend's house in my neighborhood, Katie Grimes, you yeah. know, and I'm helping her decorate. And all of a sudden my phone rings. And as I look at the number, I thought, oh my gosh, like, I don't know that number. It's spam. I'm not going to answer it. But Haynes, my youngest, was at a camp that day. And I thought, what if he's gotten hurt?
Yeah.
Let me answer it. It was my brother, my half brother, calling me to tell me, Allie, this is your brother. Well, I picked it up.
How long had it been since y'all talked?
About the same time.
Okay.
So he had kind of, because he was my half brother. We didn't have a whole lot of connection through my father. You know, it was very, he lived by my mom at this point in Sarasota, Florida. So there was no connection. So I didn't have his number. And he said, hey, mom wanted me to call you. She's in the hospital and she's very sick and she has cancer. I'm like, okay. Like I couldn't even, it's one of those things you cannot process.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot process. And then I was like, okay, this is like, I've got some decisions to make. Like this is going to have to, because when he said, mom wanted me to call you, that's all it took. That's all it took for me to go, you know what? Swallow your pride, swallow everything that's ever happened and just make it right.
Yeah. You just have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happened?
So that was on a Sunday. We ended up midweek that week, flying down to Sarasota, walked in, went to the hospital. Nothing can ever prepare you to see a parent that you haven't seen so sick and look so old and so frail.
It had been 12 years?
12 years.
Okay.
Because this was right before, yeah, because Sterling's birthday. She was about to be 12. I walked in. I have never, like, I was trembling. I was just, I didn't know if she was going to, and Brad wasn't with me because we were very careful about going through and doing this because I didn't want to set her off the handle. I didn't know what she looked like. I needed
that one-on-one time.
Yes. And y'all, if this is not the most amazing, if this does not give you chills. So I didn't know what was going on with my mom. I don't know if she's a believer. You know, I didn't know where she was. My body was trembling. I was a mess. I was like, well, at least if I pass out, I'm in a hospital and somebody can help me. And I walk in and, gosh, she looked like she was 80 years old, bless her. But the first thing that I saw, I made contact with her before she saw me. The first thing I saw on her table inside the hospital room was a Jesus calling.
Wow.
And y'all, I was like, thank you, Lord, for that sweet, that gave me the strength to walk in.
And that was at God Wink.
It was at God Wink. And we had 4 hours of just the most, I don't want to say, we caught up for a minute, but she was sick. I mean, so she had let herself go with cancer, y'all, for like the doctor said 5 to 7 years and had gotten picked up by a bystander, like a wellness check was called on her when somebody saw her at a gas station that she could not walk. So she was literally admitted to the hospital from the police because a bystander saw her and thought that she was like really drunk, but she had a mass on her brain that was 5 centimeters. So she was not driving properly. Who knows how she was medicating. So she was admitted to the hospital. And then 11 days later, she ended up passing away. But we had 4 beautiful hours of really just being able to just reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
And I, my one thing was like, I have got to show her the Lord's love.
like, I've got to witness that to her so I can sleep the rest of my life and know that I honor
her. Yeah. I mean, it's just, what a story of, like, redemption. And, like, that's all you needed was the 4 hours to know that the rest of your life you could live in peace of knowing that she's in a better place. And so 11 days later, she passed away. I remember that day.
I know. You came to my door. You were, like, the first person that I remember. I had a Starbucks on my front doorstep. And it was just, like, one of those things. And it's, and y'all, I want to be encouraging because, yes, I mean, it's hard. It's still hard. Grief is a really hard thing. And it hits you at different times. But I am so grateful for all that had happened. Like, for that, because I would not be where I am today and who I am today without every curve and bend of the road that I've been on.
So what does the Lord tell you about forgiveness, redemption, and love, and just grace throughout this whole, your whole life and experience, especially the end, like, that he gave you those 4 hours?
I think that, you know, always do the right thing. Like, even when you don't feel like it, even if it's not what we want to do, like, it was hard. Like, did I really want to go and see my mom like that and forgive her? It would have been so much easier just to be like, okay, well, she did me wrong and this and that. But I've learned that, like, just go with that nudge. And I know that nudge is the Holy Spirit, and follow what the Holy Spirit is directing you to do. And whether that be, and 9 times out of 10, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, this is the right thing. And that was forgiveness. And that is, you know, and showing the love and show love to others, even when they're not showing it back.
Yeah, I agree with that. When they're not showing it back. Well, I appreciate you sharing all that. I know it's not easy. So what I want you to talk about, growing up in a broken home and breaking that cycle and the beautiful life that you have. And you got this great husband and this, you know, great in-laws and just precious kids and precious friends and probably a life, well, definitely a life you didn't see growing up.
Oh, no.
So what would be your advice to somebody that wants to break that cycle in their life, in any aspect of their life? What would you say to do?
I think just, like, press on. Like, know that when you're in a season and it's hard, like, you're in it for a reason, and don't try to play that you know what's going to happen next, and don't do the playbook. Just, you've got to know that you can break the cycle and you can have a better tomorrow, but you've got to, it's not just going to happen. Like, you've got to pray through it. You've got to work at it. And it's not going to be easy. It's not. Mm-hmm. And you know, we are so blessed. We have the most wonderful, I feel like every day I have a life that I do not deserve, because I feel so undeserving of so many things. And I think it's so important too, like, for us just to recognize those little blessings, to stay humble in what we have, because if you don't do that, like, it.
So what are some of the blessings and the different times you've seen God's hand in your life?
Even just as of recent with my mom passing away, like, it was such a awesome tool to be able to show my kids, like, this is,
do they know?
Oh yeah. They know everything. I mean, they saw me walking around like a hot mess, and I had to just be honest with them because they were on that verge of, Sterling definitely knew, you know, what was going on, but I just had to just say, like, I used to use that as a teaching tool for them.
And didn't she say that to you?
My mom did say that to me. She did say that to me in the hospital. So that's been a blessing. I think the other blessing is it has totally made me come so much further in my walk. And I know that, like, the Lord has such big plans, even bigger plans. And this is just his story, planting this for my story, because we all have a story.
We all.
But I know that this is something that has definitely led me to be able to do more and better work in his kingdom.
I love it. Well, you've definitely been open about sharing. And I think the difference with you than maybe other people, and I hope people find encouragement in this, everybody has a story. Even if it's not what, I think the misconception a lot of times is you have to have this crazy, bizarre, awful thing happen to you. But everyone has a story in some way they can relate it. What do you think was the hardest part and the most learning part? Learning part's probably not the right term, but like, what have you learned the most?
What lesson have I learned the most? Or what's been the biggest lesson? I think the hardest part is like grieving the mom that I never had.
Yeah.
That's been hard because, you know, even if she were still alive, it wouldn't be, it's not like I would have my mom here. Like it's not, I grieved her for a long time before she actually passed away, but because she was out of my life for so long. But I think that's been a really, that was a hard part for sure.
What have you learned the most?
The most.
Or the best lesson?
The best lesson? Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Give it, receive it, spread it.
Yeah. And that's what I always, you know, think about is like, we're given a story and trials mm-hmm. and situations, good and bad,
right.
good things that teach us the grace
so
and
much.
The empathy and the things and like things we never preferred to go through.
Yes.
Most of our stories are not things we choose for ourselves.
Right.
But
right.
it's the hardest parts where you grow the most. So I appreciate that. Well, tell us about your dad and your relationship with uh-huh. him now, because that's also a cool part of your story.
So awesome. So my dad and I, we always kept in touch. Like there was never any, like,
but y'all didn't live in the same city.
We did not live in the same city. And there was, you know, my mom had full custody. I would see my dad here and there, some, but not very regularly, but he was definitely a pivotal part in allowing me to come to Auburn. He helped in certain ways, which was awesome. He's always been very, I'm his only child. So he's always been very emotionally, you know, supportive when the best that he would know how.
Yeah.
Given that my mom was in control. And then the wedding happened and then that was kind of, you know, hard. Like my feelings would be hurt too if I were him. And I had to do what was going to be best for Brad and I at the time. But when Haynes was born, which was a fast and furious and crazy delivery because we had no family in town, when he was born and we had to get a babysitter for the girls. But I remember seeing him and y'all, I know people say, oh, well, God spoke to me. Well, you know, people like look for that literal, like, what did he say? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you, he put Haynes Wilson in my arms. And if it weren't my dad when he was a baby boy, pictures that I had seen, and I was like, that's it. I have to reconnect with my dad.
How long
that
has that
is
been?
It. Since I had talked to my dad. Well, it's pretty much been since we got married in 2004. So at this point, it was 2011.
Wow.
So it had been a while. I mean, it had been a long time. And so I reached out to him and we got the communication going, which was awesome. We built our relationship, find out that he is an avid runner. Like I knew that, but like we now compete on our Apple Watch every day for running.
Oh, that's
like
so
it's
fun.
Cool. Like we have a lot in common.
And y'all seen each other.
We've seen each other. We took the kids to Arizona to go see him last year and they're coming to see us. Like we see them. So it's been a really sweet light in the darkness through the relationship with my mom, because it's like, you know, one chapter kind of closed, another one opened, which is
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah. I love that. Well, do you have anything else you want to share with anyone before we get going with some fun stuff?
No, I just want to be encouraging, like for you, like it's okay, like feel certain ways and mm-hmm. don't, I think one thing that I did for a long time was no pun intended with all these masks. But I masked it for a while. Like I didn't like really express like that it was truly me. And we need to be who we are and be transparent
and
be okay
with it. What do you think made you finally just say like, I'm not going to mask this anymore. I'm going to let the world, not the world, but
right.
I'm going to be more open about truly what my life has been.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if
the
it
Lord.
Was, yeah, it had to be. Cause it's like the Lord gives me words to say when and they're not mine, obviously, because he's just using me as an instrument. And mm-hmm. I definitely know that there's hope for you and just be transparent, be you.
Yeah, I agree with that. So thanks for sharing.
Yes.
Thanks for truly sharing your story.
Yes,
with
yes,
just
yes.
honesty and vulnerability. And it's never easy to share our stories, but I feel like every time I share a part of me, it's like people feel like me too.
It's
me
freeing.
Too. It's
freeing.
Yes. And you no longer have to be like,
well, there's this part of me nobody knows. Well, they know now. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, I appreciate you. I know this is going to encourage so many people.
I hope so.
Okay, well, let's have some fun. Let me ask you a question to ask everybody.
Oh, God. What?
Tell us three of your current faves, must-have recommendations. You love a good recommendation like I
do. I do.
So what do people need to know about? What are you loving?
Okay, I am obsessed. You can see it. It's my winter white dip powder.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
You can wear it year-round.
What color is it?
Winter white.
Oh, it's called Winter White.
Yeah, it's called Winter White. It's like kind of like a Funny Bunny color, but it's like...
I like that better than Funny Bunny.
Yeah,
I used to get Funny Bunny a lot.
So this is called Winter White Dip. Well, at least at the local salon, it's Winter White Dip.
The local salon
in Auburn. Gosh, that makes me sound so old. Local salon, nail place, whatever. That's my 40-year-old coming out.
Keeping it young.
The other thing that I recommend, if you guys are starting or you want to get into running or you've never run before, I was not always a big runner, but I had looked for shoes. I had tried like Hoka's, I had tried Asics, different things. I love Altra, A-L-T-R-A running shoes. And it took me a while to find some good ones. So like if you are looking to start running, Altra is a great.
You know, I have such a bad foot and back. I can't run anymore, but I wish I could because when I trained for my half marathon, that was the only season of my life that I ever ran. And I loved it.
Oh, I know. You get that runner's high.
I was not fast. You're fast. Yeah. I was slow, but it didn't matter.
But endorphins like pop out of my head every morning. I'm so happy because I run.
Tell us, you have running partners. How is that? Like, would you tell people to find someone to run with?
Accountability.
Yes.
Like I ran this morning in 23 degree weather and she knows.
How far?
5 miles. And she knows I love her because I went and did it, but I didn't realize the degrees it was going to be this morning. And so, it really helps like shape your, just get whatever it is. It doesn't have to be running. It can be anything, but just, I'm a big advocate for doing something 30 minutes a day, whether it's a walk or whatever it is.
Yeah. I love that. What else? What's your last one?
Oh, my last one. On your Apple Watch, you can have like partners and compete with people.
Oh,
so
that's
like,
cool.
There's like a workout activity. So you can have these little challenges.
What do you do with your dad?
Yeah, I do it with my dad. So if you can't do it in person, then absolutely do it like with somebody because we're all kind of virtual obviously now. So you can have accountability virtually with your Apple Watch and through the workout app. So
that's cool. I see people do that on Peloton, different things. I need to put my Apple Watch back on. It got messed up a long time ago.
Okay, we need to go fix that. We need to go fix it.
I know because I love doing it, but I appreciate you, Allie, and sharing your heart and sharing just your wisdom and all that God's taught you. It's really beautiful. And I'm thankful for your friendship.
Thank you.
Thankful for you and for your family and for your story. Your story has made you you. And so I'm appreciative of all of us and can't wait for more memories.
Yes.
And so cheers. Good to chat.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
If our episode today touched you, inspired you, or brought you some good laughs, we would be honored if you subscribed to the Talk with Tori podcast and left us a quick review. This will give others who are scrolling through the podcast apps the ability to find us. Please share this with all the people in your life so more friends can hear our stories. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope this episode brought you joy, love, and spice.